Reading today is taken from John chapter 11, and I'm starting to read at verse 32 and going on to verse 44. That's on page 1078 if you've got a church Bible. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he's been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he'd said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Roz. Isn't it great having Deborah leading us? How great that Deborah's training to be a reader in the Church of England, and you're such a gift to us, Deborah. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that in your word it says, "Draw near to you and you will draw near to us." Lord, we make a step in our minds today to draw near to you, and we ask that you draw near to us, show us more of your word and more of yourself, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's not a bad day today, and it's been a mixed week, but a few weeks ago, we had that run of absolutely glorious weather. And as you, many of you know, probably all of you, Paul and I enjoy cycling and walking. And when the weather's really nice, like it was a couple of weeks ago, I like to wear my shorts. And so a Friday late afternoon, a couple of weeks ago, on my day off, Paul and I, donned in our shorts, went and parked at the Fleur-de-Lis pub in Lowsonford. And we'd planned a walk. Now, the walk starts brilliantly. It's up the towpath. It's really nice. It's easy to find your way. And then we went over a bridge and into a field. And actually, at that point, the path's also really nice. You know, you've got some wheat on one side, grass on the other, there's a clear path. It's fine. Sunny evening, I'm in my shorts, I'm enjoying myself. But then the path changed. It got narrower and more overgrown. And there was a particular bit, you know, where you exit one field and into another bit. So there's like a hedgerow and a gap between, all grown over. And in that grown overness was lots of nettles. Shorts and nettles, bad combination. We both got stung. So what did we do? We immediately looked for dock leaves. And there they were. And we got one each, scrunched it a little bit, put it on. They work. No wonder our parents taught us to use dock leaves when we got stung. And so I've done a bit of research since then. I've been out walking various times, and every time there's been a good bunch of nettles, I've had a look. And lo and behold, wherever there are nettles, there are dock leaves. I'm using this illustration today, brothers and sisters, because wherever there are stings, wherever there are hurts, wherever there are pains in our lives, there is Jesus and his comfort, his help, his hope, and his peace. And that's what we're looking at today, as Deborah said. We're looking at the presence of Jesus in our pain and darkness. And it's the third and final session in our 3 weeks of the Come and See series in John's Gospel. Our first Come and See was Jesus saying to two of John's disciples, come and see where I'm staying. It was an invitation to spend time with Jesus. Last week, we looked at Philip saying to Nathanael, come and see the one who fulfills the law and the prophets. That invitation that we can extend to others to come and see Jesus, who is good news. And so today, we get Mary and Martha saying to Jesus, come and see. Come and see Lazarus's tomb. It's an invitation for us to courageously say to Jesus, come and see my pain. Come and see my grief. Come and see my place of hurt and difficulty, that we might invite him in. Well, why would we do that? I'm going to share three reasons about who Jesus is, which give us insights into why it's so safe and so good to be able to say to him, come and see my pain. It's all about because of who Jesus is. So firstly, Jesus is full of compassion. He cares. Back in the, if you look at the bigger text of John 11 and the whole story of the raising of Lazarus, you see that Martha had heard that Jesus was coming and she came out to meet him. And then Martha tells Mary, the teacher's here. So Mary quickly goes to Jesus. And then we get this wonderful exchange. And if you've got the Bible there, it starts in verse 33. When Jesus saw Mary weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? Jesus asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, just two words. Jesus wept. Now, there is a lot going on here in this exchange. There's a lot of theological significance, and a lot's been written about it, and I enjoyed reading about it this week. These words that are used for Jesus being deeply moved in spirit and troubled are a real visceral response. And when he wept, they were different tears to those that were being wailed in the grief that was around him. It was more of a lament. So there are things going on about Jesus's heart and brokenness about what's going on in the world. But what we also see at the surface level, what we see in this passage is Jesus responding to grief and pain. And how does he respond? He responds with care and compassion. He responds in friendship and with love. We can say to Jesus, come and see my heart, my hurt, my brokenness, because he responds to each and every one of us with love and compassion. He was the one who wept as his friends grieved. Wherever there are nettles, there are dock leaves. Wherever we're in pain, there is Jesus and his comfort. So why would we come to him? Firstly, because he's compassionate and loving. But secondly, I'd like to offer the fact that Jesus is different. Jesus asks, where have you laid him? And he gets taken to the tomb. Now, Jesus was a Jew. In Jewish custom, there were certain things that if you came in contact with them, you yourself became ritually unclean. These were women who were menstruating, these were lepers, and these were dead bodies. Jews who came in contact would then themselves become unclean. Not with Jesus. What is there doesn't affect him. He affects the people. Jesus is the one who the woman with bleeding touched the cloak. He's the one who took the hand of Jairus' daughter who was dead and raised her. Jesus is the one who laid on hands and cleaned lepers and healed them. When Jesus is there, it's different. It's not that a Jewish man becomes ritually unclean because of who he touches. It's that Jesus touches those deemed unclean, the dead, the bleeding, the lepers, and his cleansing, his balm, his peace, his life comes to them. Jesus is different. Another reason why we can say, come and see our difficult, unclean, dark, even dead areas, because he brings his cleansing and balm. Where there are nettles, there are dock leaves. Where there is mess and turmoil, Jesus brings his cleansing and his balm. The third reason I'd like to share as to why we can say, come and see our pain to Jesus, is very simple and very beautiful. He understands. Jesus is the God who came to earth in the form of man, and he suffered more than anyone else. He suffered on that cross in physical pain, in psychological pain, having been rejected and treated badly by his disciples, but also that separation from God. God became human and so understands everything we go through. That's why we can come to him and say, come and see. And he says, I know, I know. So if we bravely open up to the power of the divine, to courageously say to Jesus, come and see my tomb, my darkness. There's an amazing picture that Deborah shared with us, a dark room, sharp wires, fear in the corner. If we do say, here I am, Jesus, come and see what I'm going through, what might happen? Well, God is God. He can do as he wishes. I could sit down there and say, try it and let's see what he does. But I would like to offer two things from Scripture, which I think may be ways in which the Lord responds when we come to him. Firstly, I'd like to take us to the Old Testament, to Elijah the prophet. And if we look in 1 Kings 19, we find that Elijah's been serving God, and then he flees from Jezebel. Jezebel's threatening his life. And we read that Elijah goes a day's journey into the desert, and he sits down under a broom tree and prays that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he says. I have had enough, says Elijah. He prays, he cries out to God. What happens next is key. It just says that Elijah slept. And then an angel attends him. I presume later when he'd had a good sleep. And the angel says to Elijah, get up and eat. And the scripture tells us that there's a cake of bread on hot coals right there. When we say to God, come and see my pain, my fear, my heartache, my Lord, I have had enough, then sometimes God responds with rest, my child. Rest and recuperate. Sleep and eat. Elijah prays, he sleeps, and he eats. It's a great thing. It's there in Scripture. And when I Googled it, you can find it on posters, T-shirts, and mugs. Eat, sleep, pray, repeat. I'd probably say pray, eat, sleep, repeat, but whatever. God knows us completely. He knows us physically, he knows us emotionally, he knows us psychologically. And so sometimes when we show our pain to God in prayer, he guides us to sleep and eat and get ourselves into that better place where we can have that perspective of what he is doing, to rest and be refreshed in him. So maybe to help you remember that, I'm just going to share something rather precious to me and Paul. If you can see that, I know it's a bit of a way away, you might think, oh, it looks a bit like an Advent calendar. Well, it does look a bit like an Advent calendar, but it's not a countdown to Christmas Day. It was made by very dear friends of ours, the people who prayed for us at our wedding, and it was a countdown to our wedding day. They kept a copy and gave us a copy. And so whatever window we opened, they prayed that for us that day as we prayed it too. Some are prayers and some are scriptures. And so it says on the back, dear Amanda and Paul, it's to start on Sunday the 25th of March for your four-week countdown. We're praying, can't wait to see you. So it's really lovelyly made. There are things in the windows, and the other side of the window tells you how many sleeps till our wedding. 25th of March, the first window we opened, 27 sleeps to our wedding day. If in doubt, have something to eat, get some sleep, and pray. Open brackets, best marriage advice we were ever given. It's the best marriage advice. It's the best friendship advice. It's the best family advice. It's the best individual advice. It's the best church advice. God wants to restore us. And sometimes that just means having some good grub, having a good night's sleep, but always praying. Eat, sleep, pray, repeat. Where there are nettles, there are dock leaves. Where there's struggle in life, there is God in the midst of it, who may just prompt us to practically recuperate, pray, sleep, and eat. The second thing that might happen when we say, come and see to Jesus, we see in today's passage, it's why I chose it, John 11. As we've said, Mary and Martha say to Jesus, come and see. And Jesus goes to the tomb, and he calls out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. I'd like you in your head just now to put your name instead of Lazarus and hear Jesus' loud voice. Come out. Jesus is the one who's different. Jesus is the one who knows, because he was human too. Jesus is the one who's compassionate and caring, but he's also God. So he's the one that's all powerful. In him, we have hope. He is good news. And so we know that he can transform situations. He can transform how we feel. When we say, come and see my pain, Jesus may say, come out. Leave that place of pain and difficulty. The come out will mean different things for each of us, and it will mean different things in different situations we find ourselves in. But we can know from this passage that Jesus brings light and life in the places of darkness and death. For he claims of himself, and it is truth in this passage, that he is the resurrection and the life. This is why we've got such good news to share with others. He is the hope. There is hope, and hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And that hope even extends to the place of the tomb. But please note, as we look at this passage, it's not simply, "Oh, come and see the tomb, Jesus. Come out." Note that we read on to find the grave clothes still clinging to Lazarus. Things of the tomb, things of death, things of darkness may stay stuck to us. There may be many steps into life in all its fullness in Jesus, a journey, and those steps may not be easy. We may need help, help from others, professional help, help from family and friends. I love it that it's Jesus doesn't say to Lazarus, take off all those grave clothes. He says to the crowd around Lazarus, take off the grave clothes and let him go. The help from others. Aren't we grateful for those in our crowd who hear Jesus' voice and help us in the tough times, help us with our grave clothes. Wherever there are nettles, there are also dock leaves. I wonder what's stinging you at the moment. What are your areas of pain and hurt? Today's scripture says that you and I can say, come and see. Come and see Jesus, inviting him in, because he's got more soothe and balm and comfort and hope than any enormous clump of dock leaves. I wonder what he will do if we say, come and see. It could be anything from the practical, keep talking to me, get some sleep and eat well, to come out into new life, and anything in between. But we do know whatever it is, it'll be good. So we say thank you, Lord, that your kingdom can come in our lives. And I'd like to close by just reading a few scriptures. There are so many scriptures we can read when we're in a place of difficulty. But I'm going to read a few to you now. And I just pray, come Holy Spirit, to encourage us through these verses, but to also land verses in our hearts. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The prophecy from Isaiah 61, fulfilled in Jesus, and he reads in Luke 4 in the temple, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. And Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord Jesus, help us to come to you. And we thank you that you come and meet us where we are. Amen.